his parashas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefono. Yaakov sent Malachim Mamish Rashi, says, before him. El Esav Achiv to Esav, his brother. Arzu Seir Zdei Edain. The land of Seir in the field of Edain. Rashi says, Malachim is Malachim Mamish. We find something special about Yaakov Avinu, that the Torah mentions numerous times that he had Malachim with him. Here you see Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. You find Vayivgu by Malachi Elikim. Malachim of Hashem encountered him by the Chaloyim in last week's parasha. Sulam Mutzavar Tzavarashem Agi Hashemayim O Malachi Elikim Oilim V'yardim Boi. Rashi brings down over there the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael that were Malavim, they went back up to Shemayim, and new Malachim, Malachi Chutzlars, came down. Al Kaponim, you see that Yaakov Avinu has a Bazunda Rishaychis to Malachim. Now, this we don't find the favors by the other others. And we find by Avram Avinu, the three Malachim came, but Lamaisa, they came in as the Muz. Of people, you don't find the favors that they were Malachim. You have to understand why is this something that's miyuchid, especially for Yaakov Avinu. So the Brisker Rav says, by Yaakov Avinu there was a special haftaka, u'shmar ticha b'chol ha'shateleich. And the key of that shmiri is, al yidei, there was always Malachim around him, escorting him, going with him. Ki malachav yisavolach u'shmarcha b'chol rachecha. The Yitzhak of his Baruch who gave him that Avtocha, Ushmarticha, B'chol HaShetelech. So a chaluk of that is that there's always Malachim following him. It's your dua that the Beis Yosef learned Torah with the Malach. And one of the things that the Malach told him was that if he'd be able to see, he would recognize how thousands of Malachim surround him and they follow him every step of the way. I once heard a different shot of why Yaakov Avinu's B'davka Miyuchid with the Malachim. Because Yaakov Avinu is the Mufchar of the Aves. He is the symbol of Emes. He is the symbol of Torah. He is the perfect blend of the Chesed of Avraham and the Midas Adin of Yitzchak. He's the Midas of Tiferes. And the Medrash tells us that up in Shemayim, under the Kisei HaKavod, where you have the Dmus of the different creatures, you have the Dmus of the eagle and the lion and the shor, and you have the Dmus of Adam. Who is the Adam up there under the Kisei HaKavod? That is the face of Yaakov Avinu. And that is the symbol of perfection. That shows that that is the Adam in perfection. That is Yaakov Avinu. Matter of fact, the Gemara says, Shufra the Yaakov Avinu is Mehein Shufra the Adam Harishan. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu is like the beauty of Adam Harishan. Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin explains that Yaakov Avinu was able to be Mesakeh in the Chet of Adam, and he reached the Madreg of Adam Arishan Kaidim Achet. That means Yaakov Avinu is the essence of Adam in a massive of perfection. Now we know that the Adam that's in a massive of perfection rules over the world. The Telem Elikim. Why is he called the Telem Elikim? As Chaim Voloshiner says, Elikim is Baal HaKoyach is Kula. The same way Hashem is the source of all kayach, so too Adam is a miniature of Elikim. He's the source of all kayach. He rules over the world, and the Mele has kayach over the entire world. This is why Yaakov Avinu has kayach over the Malachim, because he's a symbol of perfection. He rules over the entire world. The Malachim did not want Adam to be created. You remember, there was a Shaila, HaKadosh Baruch, who said, Nasa Adam B'talmeinu, who's miyayis with the Malachim, should we create man? And they said, well, Enosh Kisis Kirendim. It's not worth to create him. He's a Balaveira. Yaakov Avinu is the example of the perfect Adam, and he makes the Malachim quiet. Against him, they can't have a time. He's the Bailam over the Bria. Moshe Rabbeinu had the same encounter with the Malachim when he went to accept the Torah, which represents the perfect man who comes to accept the Torah for Klal Yisrael. And again, the Malachim said, "Ma'enosh kisis kerenu." HaKadosh Baruch said, "Moshe hachzul and tshuva." And Moshe Rabbeinu was menaseach over the Malachim. The perfect man, the perfect tzuras ha'adam, was the master over the bria, he Vidavka is the one that shaylus over Malachim, and that's why it's Miyuchid that they serve Yaakov Avinu and you find Yaakov Avinu together with Malachim. What was the message that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav in love and Garti? The Taryag Mitzvah Shamarati, Rashi says. Garti is Begamatria Taryag. The Loyla Mavati Mimais of Haran. You have to understand, everybody asks the question, what did Yaakov Avinu want when he sent this message to Esav in love and Garti, the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarati? What does Esav HaRosha care if Yaakov Avinu kept Taryag Mitzvahs? You should think to yourself, if a fellow has to appear in front of some government official and he wants to find favor in his eyes, he'll say, you should know, I'm a Yid, the Shem and Terim Mitzvah, I keep Tayag Mitzvah. It means nothing to the guy, and it meant nothing to Esav. That's not what he was into. That's not what he was mashing. So if I say, what did Yaakov Avinu want with this? Second of all, if he talking meant to say the Tayag Mitzvah Shamarati, he should have said it out in the open. He said it belongs to Remiza like it's a riddle, that the Vaisiv is going to come down and figure out, let's see, Garti, Garti, Garti. Oh, it's the Gematria Taryag. He meant to say he kept the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's a little bit schwer to understand that Yaakov Avinu expected Esav to decipher his message. I saw a wonderful pshat, the same Hagoyin Rabban Leib Steiner, the Ekatarik Lebrach. Yaakov Avinu was not sending the message Tayag Mitzvah Shamarati to Esav. That would not mean much to Esav. He was saying it in a way that it would be a message to himself. He would remind himself where his kayak comes from. He meant to tell Esav, I lived with Lavan. I lived with Lavan and I survived. Like you mentioned last year, Lavan was the greatest kishur machra in the world. The whole world was afraid of him. And Yaakov Avinu lived for 22 years with him. And not only did he survive, but he came out wealthy. He picked Lavan's pocket. That was the main message. The Rebbe says, why did he say in the Lashon of Garti, which is Mashmat Tayag Mitzvah Shamarati? That wasn't the message to Esav. That was a message to Yaakov himself. Why did he want to remind himself of that? Because he wanted to remember it's not his hishtadlus that's getting things done. It's not his hishtadlus that's saving him from a Lavan. It's not his hishtadlus that's going to save him from an Esav. It's his kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Nehla, when he's sending the message to Esav to appease him, and all of the different tactics that Yaakov Avinu used, he said it in a lashon that reminds himself. With all of the hishtadlus, it was only because of the garti. It was only because of the tayag mitzvah shamarti that I was attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kayak that kept me going. But he didn't. A lot of times we get caught up with our own hishtadlus. We get caught up with our own voting on election day, and we think, oh, we're going to vote for the right president, and he's going to manage to take us to the promised land. And we forget ourselves. It's only established. And we have to be told in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a new presidency right now, and, you know, you see the Lama work that he's appointed to the cabinet. You know, all Harvard and Yale graduates, Ivy League graduates, that might be good in intellectual pursuits, that have no shaykhs to the reality of world policy. You start thinking to yourself, oh boy, these next 4 years are going to be levity. You have to remember, it's not our establishment, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Yaakov Avinu wants to remind himself. With all of my hishtadlus when I lived with Lavan, and with all of my hishtadlus now against an Esav, it's all about the garti, it's all about the tayag mitzvahs. And mitzvah, as the Svarim say, the word mitzvah also has it in the word teves, companionship. The mitzvah gives us the companionship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the one that brings us the Yeshuas. Yaakov Avinu said, in Yovei Esav al Machna ha'achas v'hikohu, v'hoya ha'machna ha'nishar l'fleita. So Rashi brings down that these two terms, ha'machna ha'achas, is lost in the keva. V'hikohu is lost in the zohar. Mamish tochidei dibur, that same word Yaakov Avinu uses, ha'machna ha'achas lost in the keva. And then v'hikohu, lost in zohar. So Rashi brings down there are numerous words that appear as lost in zohar and lost in the keva. But the question is, why did Yaakov Avinu use this lashon? Why did he switch Teichidei Dibur from lost in the keva to lost in zohar? What was the purpose of that? I saw a very nice shot from the Maggid of Rabbis Rabbi Yochim Getzel, that's out. He said the following. The Gemara Sanhedrin of Kukbov says that when a fellow is Makalo himself, he said something bad about himself, he doesn't use his, himself to say it. He's totally Kilolosei Ba'achayru. He uses a third person. Not, he doesn't say me, this will happen to me. He says this will happen to him or to this person. So Yaakov Avinu, when he said in Yovei Esav O'Anachno Achas, he didn't want to say directly that he's going to smite that Machaneh, because that's going to make a klol of the Yichal on himself. So what did he mean to do? He wanted to say it in a way that the klol will be Yichal on Esav. He said the following, in Yovei Esav O'Anachno Achas, the Yichohu, and his kavana was, it should go on Esav. So he would have to use the lashon nekeva for Machaneh, and the lashon zachar for Esav to show that the Hikohu is not going back on the Machaneh, because that he said the lashon nekeva. But the Hikohu means he's going to hit himself, he's going to smite himself, and the klal will be chal on him. The emes is, and let's talk about what happened. The emes, Yaakov Avinu's word when it's kayim, but tigzer oimer, but talk him up. Because I'll say in the Medrash, it says that when Esav came close to Yaakov, it says, by Yechavkeyu, by Yishokeyu, he kissed him, and there are dots on the Yishokeyu. Why are there dots on the Yishokeyu? It teaches me that he didn't come to kiss him, Amish, he came to bite him, and he bit his neck, and I thought, this Baruch Hu made an ace. And the neck of Yaakov Avinu turned into hard stone to marble. And when Esav bit in, he shattered his teeth. So that means he ended up hitting himself, and he ended up hurting himself. So the Vihikohu was Taka Makoyim on Esav. And this is why Yaakov Avinu said it in such a way, it should be nicker. But the Machaneh HaAchas, he's calling Lashon Nekeva. Vihikohu, he wants it to be chal on him, on Esav, and not on the Machaneh. The Torah elaborates and tells us explicitly what were the matonas that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav? Ezim Mosayim, 200 she-goats, Uchoshim Esrim, 20 male goats, he-goats. Rechela Mosayim, 200 sheep, the Elim Esrim, and rams, 20. The Balaturim points out that every word of this pasuk ends with a mem. Ezim Mosayim, Joshim Esrim, Rechela Mosayim, the Elim Esrim, it all ends in the Mem. And this teaches us that Yaakov Avinu only sent Bali Mumin to Esav, things that are not really to be Makriv on Mizbeach. Now the pashtus on that is, why did Yaakov Avinu do that? Because Yaakov Avinu did not want to give to Esav anything which was fit for he himself to bring on the Mizbeach. If I could bring it on the Mizbeach, it's right to bring to Hashem, so now I'm going to send it over to the Kaychas HaTumah and let Esav be the hand from it. So anything that was roy to bring on the Mizbeach, Yaakov Avinu did not send. He v'davka brought something which is a Balmo. That's the simple way of understanding the Bal HaTurim. But when Rabbi Yitzchak Rochon Inspector asks a question, we know that for B'nai Noyach, Balei Mumin could be brought on the Mizbeach. He could bring it to Hakrab. He could bring it on the Mizbeach. So what's the pshat over here that he didn't bring Balei, he sent the Balei Mumin to Esav, L'maisa. If they were right for Yaakov to bring, he's still wasting them. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Chonin said. Now, Enoch Inami, even by B'nai Noyach, if it's missing the total limb, then Zichri, you can't bring that on the Mizbeach, even for B'nai Noyach. But it's not Mistavra that Yaakov Avinu sent Esav a present to appease him, and they were openly missing a limb. That's a very, very strange thing to say. So, Yisrael brings out, that the emphasis we're not talking about over here, Balei Mumin, that are, we're talking about Balei Mumin that make an animal a treifa. That's a number of Sfarim say that. I believe the Kilos Yitzchak says that. Rav Gavriel Zev Margolius of Grodno says that. He wasn't sending Mechusrei Evorim missing limbs. He wasn't sending in Balei Mum on the outside. He was sending them treifas that would die anyway that year. That's what it means over here, Balei Mumin. And that talk is not really to be brought on the Mizbeach. Now, how in the world would Yaakov Avinu know that an animal on the inside is treif? Usually those are things that after you check the animal and you open it up, you tell that it's treif. You see a hole in the lung or you see whatever. But how is Yaakov Avinu able to tell while they were alive that this is a trait for animal? Since you're doing this, a Ramon, you're a day, a simon lamidbah. He brings down B'Shem Rav Yehuda HaChosid that there's a simon that you can tell if an animal inside is trait. If you put your hand on the animal and it buckles under and it crouches to the ground, that's a simon of kashrus. It's a simon of anovit. It's lowering itself to you. But if you put your hand on the animal and it remains in your hand, the simon of gaivit, the trait, the simon, it's a sign that the animal is straight. Earlier it says by Yaakov, by Yikach min Abba b'yode mincha la'esav ochin. He took what came in his hand. That's the pshat. He put his hand on top of the animal. If it remained in his hand, it was a simon, it was straight. It didn't buckle under. That's what he sent to Esav. But if it buckled under, that was the simon of kashrus, and that he didn't send. So that's the pshat in the Baal HaTurim. He sent Kabbalah Emunah, and the trait is on the inside. How was he able to tell? By putting his hand on top and seeing it buckle under, that was the simon of kashrus. That was the simon of kashrus. If it remained in his hand, it was the simon of tarfus. By Yochum Balailahu, Yaakov Avinu got up in that night. Vayikach Shtei Noshev, his two wives, Shtei Shev Choysev, and his two maidservants, Esacharos or Yelodov, Vayavar Esmaver Yavik. Rashi asks the question, Acharos or Yelodov, Vitzina Hechen Hoysev, where was Dina? He put her in a box, and he closed it off so that Esau should not place his eyes upon her. And because of this, Yaakov Avinu was punished, because he held her back from his brother. She might have brought him back to tshuva. And Lachaisi Yaakov Avinu did not give that opportunity, and she fell into the hands of Shem. Now, famous question is, this is a time on Yaakov Avinu. He wants to save his daughter from the eyes of a rush. He doesn't want her to marry him. This is a time. How could you have a time on Yaakov Avinu? So the Belt says over in Svobodka, he used to say that, of course, the time was not on the fact that he didn't give her over as a wife, or he wanted to protect her. The time is that when he hit her, he didn't cry enough tears, oh, if only I could have given her over to Esau. So at least he should have felt the tsar, I wish I can give her over. Oh, but the mice I can't, because the mice he's a rush. Tzadikim are judged at a higher standard. And the fact that Yaakov Avinu hit her without the proper feeling bad over the fact that he can't give her over, that was a tiny of Yaakov Avinu. I saw B'Shem Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that Yaakov, and I think the Chazanish also says a similar thing, that it's Korav Levadai, that if Zina would have married Esav, she could have brought him back to the tshuva, Babas, because Esav had tremendous kaitchus. You see, his head was buried in the Maris on Achdela. Obviously, there were tremendous kaitchus there. He grew up in the house of Yitzchak and Rivka, which was literally a Beis HaMikdash. And if Yitzchak felt that he was right to do Klal Yisrael, I thought maybe he wasn't perfect, but he had tremendous kaiches. And Yitzchak Avinu knew that he had tremendous kaiches. Had Yaakov Avinu been masking to give Dina over to Esau? Dina, if he loved Dina, a wife has a tremendous power over her husband, and to please her, she would have brought him back Lamutta. You see the power that Rabbi Akiva's wife had over him. She mom brought him to be from an Amma Oretz, a shepherd in Amma Oretz, to be the greatest of the Tanoim. The Ace of a tremendous Christus, and Ace of a tremendous Hasugis that he picked up in the house of Yitzchak and Rivka. And had Yaakov Avinu been masking, but she told her she would have been masking him. It's very shchiach. She would have been masking him Lamutta. I think Rabbi Yaakov used the most. What's Rav Besser that Yaakov had for her? Like, who was around there who usually had the best buckler in Lakewood around there, the best buckler in Brisk? You didn't have that. Who did you have over there to marry? So it was a pretty good option, and the odds were pretty good that Dina could have been Mazur and Lamutta. I saw a beautiful chat from the Sefer Avnei Shoyam Hagoyin Ramayshulev Shachar. He said like this, in the way of Chinuch, there are two different ways in how a parent can be machan of their children to approach the outer world. Either they could seclude them legamri, close them off from the outside world, they know from nothing of the outside world. Legamri, They're living in their own bubble, and they're right through Kiddushin, they go to Cheder, they go to Beis Yankiv. They're isolated from the news, they're out isolated from secular publications. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is exposing them to the world. However, the Mechanism can say that this is not right. This is not something that we believe in. This is contrary to Torah. And they develop in that matter, aware of the outside world, but at the same time they know the constraints and the fallacies of the outside world. Yaakov Avinu, by closing off Dina, he showed that his mahalach is to close her off, she should be totally secluded from an Esav, totally isolated, which is fine. Or if so, later on, when it says that Dina went out for Nisa Aret, how did he allow her to go out to witness what was going on the outside by Tetzi Dina Masleya? And Yaakov Avinu let her go out to see what Nisa Aret, and that's exactly when Shechem Chapta. That was the time on Yaakov. It's a steal of Mineu Bein your Chinuch. If that's you're taking that approach to close her off totally, to seclude her from an Esav, then you have to be consistent. And that's not what you did by Shechem. The male Shechem came along and Shechem Taka Chapta. That's the way he was shot over here in the Taina on Yaakov Avinu. The Pasuk says that when Esav came, by Yosem es HaShvachais, this Yaldein Rishayna, Yaakov Avinu put the Shvachais, Bilba and Zilpa and their children up front. This Leah V'Yamodel Acharein, Leah and her children, second. This Rachel, this Yosef Acharein, and Rachel and Yosef last. So obviously it went in the order of Kashivas, the Yaakov Avinu. The Shvachas were the least closer, they were up front. Leah and her children were next in line. Acharein, Acharein, Chaviv, all the way in the back was Yosef together with his mother, Rachel. The Sefer Kodesh Maimorim brings down B'Shem the Grub that this parasha is a remez to the way things are going to appear at the time of the Gula Hasidim. In the times of Chavlei Mashiach, in the times of Ikkus and the Mashiach, during the period immediately preceding the Gula, the people that are going to be up front, the spokesmen for Klal Yisrael, they are going to be the Eber Rav. They are going to be the people on the lowest madrega on the totem pole. The bottom of the totem pole, they're going to be the spokesman for Klal Yisrael. That's represented by the Shrokas and their children. The lowest madrega. Then will come the Hamayna, the average person in Klal Yisrael. That's represented by Leah and her children. Finally, at the end, Rachel and Yosef, they were the most chashuv l'gabei Yaakov Avinu. The Talmidei Chachamim, the ones that have the Da'as Torah, the ones that have the really clear-cut outlook on life, Al Pi Torah, they're going to be all the way in the back, and they're going to be the ones that are not heard from. Chachamim says that the words of the Gra were Mekuyim in his mind already. Totally. Who are the spokesmen then? The Maskilim, the Chaim Oiz, who was not the spokesman for Klal Yisrael to the governments and such. People didn't listen to him. On Rabbi Maskila made fun of the old-fashioned rabbi. So the people that were up in front, they were the ones that had least shaykhus to tell you. Zohar B'Chonah was the skyim and our zman. Mamish, this word of the Gra, and it shows clearly that the Yeshua is close to coming. Because Kavod HaTorah, and those that carry the flag of Torah, the Kavod HaTorah has gone tremendously. And the voices of the Talmidei Chachamim are not the voices that are heard as the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Who are the ones that are being heard? The Shifcha and their children. So therefore, Chachamim says that we have to be mechazik ourselves with all of our kayak. Because during the period of Hester Panim and the times before Mashiach, the Nisayin in Emuna is tremendous. We find that today also. Who is the big spokesman for Klal Yisrael today in the world? Oh, it's Bibi Netanyahu, it's the government of Israel, you say it's the Anti-Defamation League, it's AIPAC, and so on and so forth. Or J Street, the self-hating Jews. You know, these are the ones that are famous in Washington, they're famous in the world. You know, who in the world hears of Rav Chaim Kanievsky? By us. In the Haredish world, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he is the last word on everything. But in the Velt today, whoever heard of Rav Chaim Kanievsky? So that's the shot, is that Yaakov Yomer Oitshimcha, Kiyim Yisrael. Yaakov will no longer be set as your name, Yisrael. Kisorisim Elikim Vimanoshim Aduchov. Because you fought, you struggled with Malachim and with men, and you were capable. The Gemara says in the Sefer Brachos, Daf Gimel, whoever calls Avraham, Avram, is Oivran and Azay. As it says, Oyashimcha Avraham. Rabbi Lazar Oimer, he's Oivran a lot. As it says, so the Gemara asks a question. I'll ask you a question. Now, if you call Yaakov, Yaakov, the rules are over. The Gemara says, no, that's different. Why? Because even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him Yisrael, he still called him Yaakov. He brought back the name Yaakov. The male of the name Yaakov was never uprooted. Daphne Fastain, what's the Philip doctor? Why by Avram if his name is changed? If you call him by his old name, you're over. Hashem came by Yaakov Avinu. If you call him by his old name, you're not over. They saw the stipler, Zechatzadi, because it's Lebracha. In Birchas Peretz, offers a few answers. Number one, he says Avram's name was given to him by Terach, who was a Russian. He was an Eved Avodah Zarah. And the word of a Russian does not have everlasting kiyum. That becomes bottle. Hashem came Yaakov, the name Yaakov was given by Yitzchok Avinu. Yitzchok Avinu is a Navi. When the Navi says has everlasting kiyum, the male of that cannot become but. I think there's a deeper kavana in this teretz. That's taka. The teretz is stipled gives. But it could be there's a deeper limit over here. When a Russia gives his child a name, he gives his child the name according to his limited asogis, his limited understandings of the Bria. He does not have great spiritual aspirations for his child. So when he gives the name, there are very little aspirations that are placed into that name. I shall if he's there, that name becomes Bartlett. It doesn't have any everlasting kiyum. Yitzchok Avinu, on the other hand, was an Oyla Tamima. He was Kodesh HaKadosh. He was brought on the Mizbeach. He wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He wouldn't dare marry a Shivka. He was Kodesh HaKadosh. When he gave the name to Yaakov, that name entailed in itself tremendous she'ifas legatus. Yaakov is a lesson of struggling. A lesson of struggle. That's the name that represents us best in the goals. And Yitzchok Avinu had aspirations for Yaakov. He should continuously struggle with the Yetzirah, not to let him overcome him and to conquer over him. And that way he'll be able to tremendously. So the she'ifas of the tzaddik, when he gives a name to his child, have tremendous, tremendous meaning. Nitzchi is the value, everlasting value, and that's why that name never became Bucky. A good Shabbos, everybody.